Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Anything you cannot give to God is your God. If God demands something from you and you cannot give that thing to Him, that thing is your God. So I want to ask you a question. What are the things you can't give to God?
Pastor Neil's teachings serve as a strong reminder that as Christians, we have a duty to live sacrificially in order to advance God's kingdom. Sacrifice involves giving up something valuable for a greater purpose. Pastor Neil further emphasizes that Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice by dying on the cross for us. So it is now our responsibility to make voluntary sacrifices that go beyond our time and money, because what God truly desires is for us to offer our very lives as a sacrifice, as Paul stated in Romans 12, verse 1. By offering ourselves as living sacrifices, we capture God's attention, invite His intervention, and ignite His deliverance. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's message on intentional living through sacrifice.
All right, so we've been talking about how to live intentionally. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully." Or live what? Intentionally. So we have looked at how to be intentional about our faith. We've talked about how to be intentional about our family lives. We looked at how to be intentional about the generations behind us, that we are not going to hand over to them a Christianity that is watered down. They must understand and know the God we know. Amen? And last week, we began to talk about being intentional about your relationship with God. God says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. It is amazing how many people want to go to church and still serve God just with their lips. He says He responds to those who come to Him with your hearts. Amen and amen. All right, today, in preparation for Memorial Day, which is tomorrow, I want to talk about be intentional about life, and we will talk about sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. At the core of Memorial Day is two things. One is to honor and to remember the soldiers who died in war. And the only reason that as a nation, we celebrate or we honor and remember these soldiers is because of their sacrifices. Are you understanding me? It is the only holiday you never say happy. You can say happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, happy this, happy that. But on Memorial Day, you never say happy that. You simply say that we recognize your sacrifices because many gave their lives. I said, many did what? When you visit the Marine Corps Museum close to the Pentagon, you will notice these words, and I want you to capture it. Uncommon valor was a common virtue. This was said by the Fleet Admiral Chester Nimitz. He says, among those who served on Iwo Jima, uncommon valor was a common virtue. Don't get confused. I will explain that to you. Valor or bravery or courage is uncommon because it's not everybody who is bold. And it's not everybody who is what? Who is courageous. But he says, this uncommon valor became a common virtue. Because in this war, in Iwo Jima, as the Japanese began to bomb the Americans, they were like losing the war until most of these soldiers began to understand it is time to sacrifice my life so the United States would win. It is amazing what we can sacrifice ourselves for. But today I am here to challenge you as a child of God. We may not be sacrificing for this nation, but it's time to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Amen. I think you can see a better amen. I said it's time to what? Sacrifice. This uncommon valor became a common virtue because every single one of those soldiers were willing to sacrifice. In fact, there is a story about John F. Kennedy. He was at the helm of a boat with Marines in it. And we are told that they were hit by a Japanese destroyer. The only options were three. One has to be chosen. They either have to surrender, they either have to sink with the boat, or they have to swim under the waves to safety. But there was no safety anywhere. These soldiers, led by John F. Kennedy, we call his name today because of the sacrifice he made. We're told that they swung all the way into an island. And when they got there, they realized there was no food. And they were close to the Japanese army. So then they got back under the water. They had made a decision that they were not going to surrender. They had made a decision that they were not going to sink with their boat. But they were going to stand to fight. And that called for sacrifice. And that is why when the Admiral Nimitz was asked, he says, on that day in Imo Jima, uncommon valor became common. Why? Because every soldier wanted to sacrifice. I am here this morning to call on you that don't let Memorial Day be about barbecue and the beginning of summer. But let it become a day when you are beginning to understand that there ought to be a sacrifice that you have to make for the kingdom of God. If God will be enthroned, it is because you will enthrone him. And if Satan would win, it is because you decided that he will win. Both God and Satan is dependent on you. You are in the center of these two entities. If God will win on earth, it is because you are willing to make a sacrifice. And this morning, I want you to put the barbecue somewhere and begin to look at the fact that there are sacrifices that we ought to make, like John F. Kennedy. In fact, we are told in his story that after he realized that all the service members with him were not going to make it because there was no food, no supplies. Some were wounded from the blast. He got back into the water again and he kept swimming to find islands, to find a place where he can get food and supplies for his people. I want to ask you, what are you sacrificing for the kingdom of God? Because coming here, sitting on the chair, going back home, it's not sacrifice. You are doing something you like. We have Memorial Day because these soldiers gave something that was beyond them. Amen. Most of us sitting here are from African descent. And I am 100% sure, please correct me, that before you left the shores of Africa, you said, God, if you get me to the United States, I will serve you. It was a covenant you made with the Lord. Why aren't you keeping it? Today, the dollar has become your... Complete the rest of the sentence for yourself. So I came here today because I sense a burden in my heart to remind you that your Memorial Day ought to become a day when you are willing to sacrifice to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. The word sacrifice simply means to give something up which is precious for a cause. The word sacrifice simply means offering up something precious for a cause or for a reason. All throughout the Old Testament, there are several kinds of sacrifices. In the Old Testament, there are two basic sacrifices. There's what is called the mandatory sacrifice and the voluntary sacrifice. The mandatory sacrifices were the sacrifices that were made for sin, like the trespass offering. Then there were other offerings that were not mandatory, but they were involuntary. The scripture says that God himself sent Jesus to earth. And he gave us the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. So that all these other sacrifices in the Old Testament do not become necessary. However, please understand that much as his sacrifice ended, these sacrifices, the voluntary sacrifices, in principle, was not ended. Because in the voluntary sacrifices, we sacrifice for devotion and commitment. That was the burnt offering. There was a sacrifice called the peace offering, and then the wave offering, and so on. And they were for thanksgiving. Are we still supposed to be thanking the Lord? What I want you to see is that God himself gave the ultimate sacrifice. Everybody say, God himself gave the ultimate sacrifice. So that raises a question. Why does a God who gives the greatest sacrifice still want a sacrifice from me? Why? Because if he gave the ultimate sacrifice to all humanity, then obviously he does not need a sacrifice. Number one, the reason for which God wants us to still give a sacrifice in the New Testament era is because sacrifice that is given to God is an expression of your love for him. And it tells how you value him. Anytime we make a sacrifice, and I'll come to what sacrifice God wants. Anytime we sacrifice for God, it is an expression of our love for him and how much we value him. Anything you cannot give to God is your God. If God demands something from you and you cannot give that thing to him, that thing is your God. So I want to ask you a question. What are the things you can give to God? It is amazing that you can take time off for vacations, but never take one for a retreat. I'm not here to put you down, but I'm here to challenge your thinking. That it's time to go back to the drawing table and re-examining some things if you are a Christian. Amen. Most of the time, you realize most of the people who talk a lot in churches are the one who does nothing. Those whose hands are really dirty and they are in the thick of work. They are occupied with so much work, they don't have the time to talk. So if you are talkative, look into your life, you realize you're actually doing nothing. I am not here to put you down, but I'm here to challenge you that if ordinary soldiers could put their life on the line for a country, what are you putting up? Let's ask this younger generation who want fast life and fast money. How did this country become this country? Because some people gave their lives. What are you giving? What exactly are you giving? What are you giving to this ministry? What are you giving to the kingdom of God? And please, when I talk about giving, I'm not talking about your money. God has a way of taking care of his bills. There's something God wants from you. And I'll get to that. Amen. You don't need to have things to be materialistic. Do you agree? Because the mere obsession for things, when it doesn't match up with your obsession for God, you are materialistic. Secondly, why does God, who gave the greatest gift or greatest sacrifice to you and I, want us to sacrifice to him? Because sacrifice to God is an expression of our honor. Whenever you make a sacrifice to whoever you gave that sacrifice to, it is because you honor him. It is because you what? Honor him. To honor someone is to regard or to treat that person with the admiration and respect. It means to give them a special recognition. You know, sometimes when you have visitors in your home that you respect so much, you make sacrifices for them. It was Paul the apostle who says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. That's an oxymoron because most sacrifices are dead. But he said, but in this case, this sacrifice has to be living. Then he says, they are holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual act of worship. The New American Standard Bible says, this is your true worship. What is he saying? He's saying that sacrifice has something to do with your worship. And he says, before the sacrifice becomes a true worship, it must be holy. Everybody say holy. If you have dirty dishes in the sink, it is dirty and unrighteous. But when you wash them and you wipe them out and put them in maybe a cupboard, anything or anything that you put them in, it has become clean and it is acceptable. But ladies, you will all agree with me. Maybe the guys don't, but I think we should know by now that there are certain dishes in the home that is not given to everybody else in the home. It is reserved for a person of honor. When somebody visits, you reach out and you bring those dishes out, and then you use them to serve. It means they have been set apart. That is holy. God is saying, I beseech you, therefore, don't make me like the dishes in the sink, because I am not that. Don't make me the dishes that are washed and kept in the cupboard, but make sure that I am the ones that have been separated, set apart for a special honor. When I sacrifice, I am honoring him as holy. He's not ordinary. I can sense somebody saying, Pastor, you're just trying to stop us for having barbecue tomorrow. No, I'm trying to put perspective to why you eat barbecues, to understand that it is not about barbecue, but it's a day for you to sit down and understand the sacrifice that ought to be made. Everybody say the sacrifice. When you honor a person, you will give and give sacrificially to them without worrying. So when I see believers who are fighting over tithes and giving in church, it is clear to me that they don't understand what sacrifice and honoring God as the only dish in the house that can be used by anybody else to show your honor. Are you hearing me today? What does God, who gave the greatest sacrifice to you and I, want our sacrifice? Thirdly, it is because sacrifice to God gets God's attention. It invokes his intervention and it initiates his deliverance. Do I need to say that again? Whenever you sacrifice, it gets God's what? Attention. It invokes his intervention and it initiates his deliverance. Anytime you pray, there are things you may not receive, but when you sacrifice, I bet you God is going to respond. God is going to what? I have learned in ministry over the years that there are some things after I have prayed and done everything there is to be done and I don't see results, that I will sacrifice. And I don't just make sacrifice. Sometimes you must listen to the sacrifice the Holy Spirit is asking you to what? Sacrifice. Many believers today just believe in the fact that for them it is this. Or, no, God must be honored. Everybody say, God must be honored. Anytime you sacrifice God's attention, you will get it. You will invoke his intervention and you will initiate his deliverance. Start with me in the book of Judges 13. Judges 13, look at the 19th verse. I'll read from the New King James Version. And this is the parent of Samson. Manoah and his wife. Judges 13, the 19th verse. He says, Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And God did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. In fact, the NIV says, God did an amazing thing. The amazing thing never happened until the sacrifice was given. 2 Kings chapter 3. Here we see the king of Moab. He is in battle with Israel as a nation, and some things are not going well for him. Let's pick up 2 Kings chapter 3, the 26th and the 27th verse. Verse 26 says, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too fierce for him, he took with him 700 men who drew swords to break through to the king of Edom, but they could not. Everybody say they could not. Now, 700 men who drew swords, they are not ordinary people. They are people who can actually fight. And we are told that even though they tried to fight, they could not. Notice what he does in verse 27. Then he, that is the king of Moab, took his eldest son, who would have reigned in his place, and offered him as a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel. So they departed from him and returned to their old land. What the sword could not do, sacrifice made it happen. Some of us are crying to God, looking for things and all that. But you hardly sacrifice for anything in God's kingdom. You only give God the time that you like. You sleep and don't go to work on Saturday. But when there is prayer meeting on Friday night, you don't even show up. Where is your sacrifice? This is an unrighteous king. And let me tell you, sacrifice have been used by all kinds of people. Hedonists, Satanists, they do all kinds of, because they understand that it is the highest thing. In fact, whenever you look at sacrifice, it is one of the pillars on which love sits. Love sits on four pillars. The Bible says, all that we know, the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. What are those four pillars? Passion is number one. Commitment. Anybody who says they love you and they are not passionate about anything concerning you, then they don't love you. Commitment, you all agree, is the other one. Pleasure is the other one. And the last one is sacrifice. For God so, and then he what? He sacrificed his son for us. He sacrificed his son for us. Somebody say, he sacrificed. So on this Memorial Day, I don't want you to just run around and just think about, oh yes, it's Memorial Day, let's eat some barbecue, let's have some fun. But as you have the fun, as you do all the other things, begin to ask yourself, what have you sacrificed for the kingdom of God? Some of us, we don't even sacrifice anything for America. When it's time to vote, you don't vote. When it's time to stand in a civics circle and do something that will bring... If everybody did that, how can you come and enjoy? Tell the person sitting next to you, it's time to sacrifice. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, from verses 30 to 38, we read the story of Elijah, who made a sacrifice. We are told that back in those days, Elijah, people were halted between two opinions. And Elijah was just reminding them that if Jehovah is God, you got to serve him. And if God is God, then you got to serve him. And so the scripture says, at the even oblation, at the time when they were going to have sacrifice, he put up and rebuilt the altar of God. And after he was done, he called on the name of the Lord. And God literally brought fire. Many people are praying for revival all across this nation. But could it be that the reason for which we don't see it is because God is waiting for sacrifices on the part of his people? That we are not willing to give. We don't want to give any sacrifice. We just want to do what is convenient. I want you to search deep into your heart and ask yourself, what really are you sacrificing for the kingdom of God? What really? God has money, so he doesn't need your money. Your tithe is not your sacrifice. Your offering is not your sacrifice. Fourthly, why does God, who gave the greatest sacrifice to you and me, want our sacrifice? Because sacrifice to God gives you and I the access to the sworn or commanded blessing. Everybody say commanded blessing. Anytime you sacrifice, there is what is called the commanded blessing that God has to enforce on your behalf. Everybody say commanded blessing. Let me define it. A commanded blessing is the kind of blessing that is ordered and enforced against all odds. It is ordered by God himself, and God himself will enforce it. You didn't hear that. A commanded blessing or a sworn blessing is the kind of blessing only God commands it. And once he has commanded it, he will enforce it. The book of Leviticus chapter 25. Look there with me in verse 20 to 21. Let me give a background as you turn there. Leviticus 25 verse 20 and 21. The scripture says, when you have come into the land in the year of Jubilee, in that year of Jubilee, they were supposed to return to people things that belong to them. And it says, in this year, there's not that much work you will do, but I will do something for you. Pick it up from verse 20. And if you say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce, then I will command my blessing on you in the sixth year, and it will bring forth. The blessing is going to bring forth. I will command my blessing, and it will what? So the bringing forth was a result of the commanded blessing. It says, in the sixth year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. You didn't understand what I just read. The commanded blessing is not just for the moment. But he says, whatever I give to you is able to sustain you for the next 3 years. 1 Kings 17. I'm still looking at the commanded blessing. Because whenever we sacrifice for God, I have never seen anybody who has sacrificed anything for God that got something back. You see, don't go into transaction with God. If I do this, you do this for me. This is modern day believers' attitude. I pray that you'll be delivered from that. The apostles of old gave their lives and expected nothing back. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood there and says, we know God delivers, but just in case he doesn't, we still will give him our lives. Modern Christians, our title and everything is, what is in it for me? The day and the time has come that you will begin to sacrifice in such a way that it is not about what is in it for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In 1 Kings 17, we read about Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. Yeah, there were two prophets. One was Elisha. The next one is Elijah. Now, there was a time when things were not going well, so God told him that he needs to go to a certain place. And then he will take care of him. Everybody say, commanded blessing. And if you pick up on verse 4, 1 Kings 17, he says, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. That is a commanded blessing. Notice how it is taking place. Ravens don't give food to humans. They rather will take from you. Come on, you didn't understand that. So what God is indicating, that when a person sacrifices, they have access into the very provision, which is not ordinary. It is supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. Because it's only God who has the ability to command a raven to bring you something that that bird will keep for itself. May God Almighty command a blessing over your life, that it will come in such a way that men will not have a part in it, but God himself. But it is coming because it is as a result of your sacrifice. So I call this supernatural provision. Everybody says supernatural provision. Now skip to verse 9 of the same chapter, because the scripture says, after a while, the brook dried up and the ravens were not bringing the food anymore. And God made another thing to happen. Are you in verse 9? Read with me if you can, shall we? Arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Another commanded blessing. You see, the command for ravens to bring you food was supernatural. But the command for the widow of Zarephath to bring provision was natural. God does not intend for you all the time to live by supernatural provisions. There comes a time when he will use people who are around you, people you don't know, people who have made up their decision, they are going to destroy you. God will use them. But he says, the only way I bring the commanded blessing is because you have chosen to sacrifice.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.